You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
What are the essential teachings of Christianity that help us grow as disciples of Jesus? Learn more in week 2 of our series, Forward.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you give your seatmate a high five for a while? Tell your seatmate, I'm so glad you are finally in church this afternoon. All right. Now, this afternoon, we are down to the second installment of our series called Forward, okay? Who among you were with us last Sunday? You were with us last Sunday. Can you see your hands for a while? Okay, so Pastor Larry was here and he started talking about us craving for pure spiritual milk. Basically, this afternoon, I want to pick from that. That's basically still the subject that we're going to talk about here this afternoon. We're going to talk about God's Word. But before that, let me just say something for a while. You know, the premise of this series is very simple. We're looking at the account of Peter in the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and also the book of Acts. Okay, we're looking at how Peter basically perceived every single event that has happened in his life ever since he became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forward simply means as being disciples of Jesus Christ, moving forward in our relationship with Him. Guess what? This is the second week. This is a 9-week series. Okay, this is a 9-week series. This afternoon, this is going to be a little different, okay? So, as early as now, I'm going to tell you this. This afternoon, this is different because this is not really going to be a preaching this afternoon. Much of what we're going to do here is teaching, all right? So, because it's teaching, it's not really preaching. So, there might be some jargons later. There might be some technical terms that we're going to talk about. But I'm just praying that all of us will just lock in, even if it gets a little boring later. Because I believe that what we're going to talk about here this afternoon are things that you need in your walk with God, okay? Forward, if there's some of you here who has had pain in the past or you've been wounded in the past, we all know that the only way to go is to move forward, amen? If you're asking for a specific example for me, at this season of our life, for example, for the guys here, if you're here and you are a Cavaliers fan, okay, you know what's going to happen, right? You know what's going to happen. Spurs, they're going to win the championship, so you have no choice but to move forward, okay? That's basically what life is. So, sorry, guys. Pustahan tayo, ano? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. This is Peter writing this down. He said, rather, you must. Can everybody say must? When you say must, it is a command. Again, this is a teaching, okay? It says here, rather, you must. It says here, you must meditate. It is a command. Bible says, you must grow in the grace and knowledge. Can everybody say grace and knowledge? Grace. So it basically gives us a picture that as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a believer, every single one of us, even if you're here and you've been a Christian for 3 months or 3 years, it is basically expected from us or expected of us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know with you, but if you look at this text right here, I'm basically getting this from the NLT. You would come to understand that it says here, this is basically growth in two ways. You grow in the grace and grow in the knowledge. Now, if you look at that, if you're studying your Bible, you'd basically ask the question, what does it mean to grow in grace? All right? So, I mean, for you and your seatmate this afternoon, what does it mean to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? First things first, let's talk about growing in the grace. When you say growing in the grace, it simply means what? It simply means you grow in your appreciation of what Christ has done for you. I feel like, for the many times that I've been preaching here, I feel like one of the dangers of many Christians is to live their life apart from the realization of how much Christ has done for them. Because I feel like many of the mistakes in our lives are a result of us being gospel deficient. Okay? Even as a Christian, understanding what Christ has done for you is not just a starting point, but it is the central message of our life. Meaning to say, every single thing that we're doing in our life as a Christian, all the good works that you might be doing as a Christian, should be stemming from the understanding of what Jesus Christ has done for you 2,000 years ago. Okay? Then it says here, you don't just grow in the grace, but you also grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the person beside you for a mukha bang knowledgeable. Do they look brilliant? Mukha bang pang-suma? Si Mav, alam niyo ba graduate si Mav? Muntik mag-suma yan. Kesa sobrang hirap muntik mag-kuan yan, mag-sumakabilang buhay. So, when you say growing the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very simple. Pag sinabi mong knowledge, it talks about your intellect. So meaning to say, if Peter is writing here that you must grow in the knowledge, it gives us a picture that knowledge of the scripture, knowledge of the Bible is not reserved for pastors alone. Okay? If you're here and you've been a Christian for quite some time now, I'm praying that much of the things that are in the Bible, you're already knowledgeable of much of the things written in God's Word. I hope and pray that we will not be a people who will be contented with the Sunday preaching. You know what? The preaching that we have here, this runs for just 40 minutes. If it's Tom preaching. Okay, if it's me preaching, it's 55 minutes. Sometimes 1 hour and 10 minutes. I always get a red flag on that one. But anyway, parang kwan na to, this is just a breadcrumbs. But if you want to grow as a Christian, I want you to understand is your growth is your responsibility. Your growth is your responsibility. If you're resigning yourself to just reading Chicken Soup for the Soul or Our Daily Bread, guess what? You will not really grow as a Christian. You need to have the meat of God's Word. Okay, we need to have the meat of God's Word. Tell the person beside you, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. All right, let's talk about this now. I remember when my wife became a Christian, just like many of the ladies here, my wife is a Max Lucado reader. All right, she has all of this collection of Max Lucado. Some of them, I lost them. But anyway, she has all of this collection of Max Lucado. When I started courting my wife, I started talking to her, I realized much of her context or much of her background was from the author Max Lucado. And if you ask me, there's nothing wrong with Max Lucado. The guy's a prolific writer. He just really touches the emotions, touches the soul. But you know, if you talk to my wife right now, from the time when she was a Max Lucado reader to where she is now, you would come to understand that there's a certain level of depth that she has started understanding along the way. I want us to understand is, in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, we need to be moving forward. Okay? If all we know about Jesus is Jesus died for you, then there's something wrong. Okay, there's something more to what we have in our minds right now. Now, let me start talking about essential doctrines. Okay, let's talk about essential doctrines here this afternoon. Before that, let me try to explain something for a while. You know, 2 months ago, my wife and I decided to make some purging at home. You know what purging means, right? When you say purging, you have to remove some things. Meaning to say, we were looking at the stuff that we have accumulated over the course of 7 years. Our Mercedes-Benz, BMW, all of the cars that we bought the past 7 years. Okay, and all of our 5-tonner aircon, 3-tonner air, all of these things. So we started making an inventory. Joke lang yun, of course. Kwan lang mga kutsara, ganun lang. Kutsara ng wedding. Di ba pag wedding, ganun yun, laging may towel, 10 alarm clock. So anyway, tsaka, guess what? Ano pa sa wedding meron? Rice cooker. Okay, so that's why pag ikakasal po kayo, importante, meron kayong bridal registry, okay? Tip yun. We've looked at all of this stuff that we have and we started making a decision. This is how you purge it. You try to label which things are supposed to be given away, which are the things that you're gonna keep, and then for me, which are the things that we're gonna sell. Okay, so we have to make all of these decisions. So meaning to say, at the end of it, the stuff that gets left behind are the essential ones. Meaning to say, we cannot see ourselves living our life without all of these things. So it's the same thing with our Christian faith. There are things that are essentials. I'd rather say also that there are things that are a little bit non-essentials. But for this specific preaching here this afternoon, or teaching this afternoon, we're going to look at the essential doctrines. Now, I understand, when we say doctrine, it sounds so primitive. That's why I'm telling you, you're going to listen to a lot of jargons here this afternoon, a lot of technical terms. When we say doctrine, it sounds so primitive. I don't know, if you hear the word doctrine, it sounds like for guys who have halo in their head in the past. But we're going to understand all of those things this afternoon. When you say essential, it means what? Absolutely necessary. Okay, absolutely necessary. So meaning to say, there are doctrines in the Bible that are absolutely necessary for us as Christians. Allow me to try to define this for a while. Let's talk about the word doctrine first. The word doctrine, in its simplest definition, simply means God's revelation of truth as found in the Scripture. Take note of this one. When Jesus was on trial, even Pontius Pilate asked him this question, what is truth? Okay, what is truth? Now, I want us to understand this. Whenever we start talking about doctrine, huwag kayong matakot sa term. Okay, let's not be afraid of the term doctrine. Doctrine, in its simplest definition, it simply means what? God's revelation of truth found in the Scripture. So if you want to know the doctrines of Christianity, the simplest synonym maybe for doctrine is teaching. Okay? So when I say doctrine, I'm talking about teaching. So if you talk about doctrines or teachings, they're basically found in the Scripture. Doctrine should not be confused with the word dogma. Okay, you know what dogma means? Okay, dogma, that's not the name for a mother dog. Okay, dogma is what? It is man's statement of a truth set forth as in a creed. Okay, let me just try to explain it for a while. Doctrine is a revelation of the truth found in the Scripture. Dogma is what? dogma are statement of faith, of truth set forth as in a creed. For example, give me an example of a creed. Apostles' Creed. Remember, we've talked about that last year, also 9 weeks or 7 weeks. We've talked about the Apostles' Creed. There's also the Nicene Creed. So meaning to say, dogma is stemming from doctrines. The reason why people come up with dogmatic theology or dogmatic studies is because they understood the doctrines found in the Scripture. Okay? Now, why is understanding doctrines important? Why is understanding doctrines important? In our generation right now, why do we have to understand doctrines found in God's Word? Why? It's because we live in a generation wherein people would deem the truth as relative. Okay? Meaning to say, if Jesus said he was the truth, people would say truth is relative. Now, do you think truth is relative? What do you think? That's not the case. Truth is absolute. Let's go to your philosophy class. Remember your philo class, logic? Okay, philo 31, okay? Who's your favorite teacher? Okay. Magaling na teacher yun. Parang pamangkin niya. Okay? He's my uncle. Okay? But anyway, parang nagulat kayo, no? Four is for God kasi. In logic or philosophy, it teaches us that truth is absolute. Right? Meaning, truth is 100%. Now, what I want us to understand is, if there are people out there who will say things that will try to negate the truth, which is absolute, my question is this one. Does that make the truth less of a truth? The answer is not. Why? Because, again, truth is absolute. So all the more, specifically, especially for the young students here this afternoon, I want you to understand that doctrines need to be taught. And doctrines are for every single one of us. Why? Because in an age of relativism, in which there appears to be no absolutes, it is vital to know that God has absolutes. Okay, let me just try to explain this for a while. The purpose of doctrinal studies, the purpose of studying the Bible or teachings in the Bible, okay, just to make that simpler, is to set forth in a systematic order the things which are most surely believed among true believers. Now, let me just stop there for a while. Let me just try to explain that. One of you have been to Lake Balinsasayaw. You've been to Lake Balinsasayaw. Can I see your hand for a while? Okay. You're not a Dumaguiteño if you've never been there. Okay. So, if you're not from here, don't leave the city without going there. But anyway, let's say you went to Lake Balinsasayaw. Okay. Let's say EJ. Okay. Let's say EJ right here. EJ stands for Erlan. Erlan Josh. Do you think your name is nice? Of course. Let's say AJ, Erlan Josh, went to Balinsasayaw. And then when he got there, do you know that in the Philippines, there are a lot of endemic species. There are a lot of endemic animals. Meaning to say, these are animals that can only be found in the Philippines. I don't know if you know this, but sometimes if you discover a species, the probability of that animal to be named after is actually big. Okay, let's say AJ went to Lake Balinsasayaw together with Kini. So they went hiking. And then AJ found something. He discovered something. He discovered a brand new species of frog. Okay? The thing with this frog is that it's special, it's different. In what sense? This frog can fly. This frog has teeth. All right? This frog can walk on water. I mean, this frog looks different. The eyes, the left eye is red, the right eye is yellow. Okay? Sana mapanaginipan nyo ito mamaya. Joke lang. Let's say EJ discovered this frog. Erlan just discovered this frog. Now look. It's one thing to have a discovery in his hand. He placed it in a container, and he showed everyone, "Hey, classmates, I found a brand new species of frog." That's one thing. It's a different thing to have a group of scientists, to have a group of biologists collaborating with him in studying the frog. You folks catch that? He discovered it. It was revealed to him. Now he has a group of people who started studying it, dissecting it. Then after that, every single finding that they did regarding the flying frog, they wrote it on a book, and guess what? They published it, and guess what? Every single student out there will benefit from his discovery. You folks catch that? So it's the same thing with the Bible. The Bible, from cover to cover, is full of doctrines, full of teachings. Now, it's one thing to discover it. It's one thing to have a systematic studying of the doctrines found in the Bible. The reason why we're growing in our faith is because our forefathers started studying the Bible, and it was basically presented to us in a systematic manner. Now, I'm not saying that we all have to be Bible scholars here this afternoon. I'm just saying that at least as a believer, we understand the essential doctrines of the Bible. All right? According to Kevin Connor, he said, doctrine received, believed, and practiced determines a person's character, behavior, and destiny. That's actually fascinating. Why? Because the way you live your Christian life is actually hinged on how you understand the doctrines in the Bible. For example, let me just try to explain it for a while. Let's say you understand a facet of the doctrine of God. We understand that God is merciful. Amen? Aren't you glad that God is merciful? That He blots out your transgression? I don't know with you, but every single day of my life, the moment I wake up, I thank God that He is merciful. I thank God that He has forgiven me. Now, I mean, that's a good thing to understand that He's merciful. But sometimes, like what I told you, like what Kevin Connor is teaching us, the manner you understand and embrace doctrine will dictate how you're going to live your life. If you only understand God to be merciful, but you don't understand Him to be holy, then you might live a life where you keep committing the same sins again and again because you always have it in your mind, it's okay because God will forgive me anyway. You folks catch that? Why? Because you're only embracing a facet of what you understand God to be or how you understand God to be. But you also have to understand that God is a holy God according to the scriptures, and it teaches us to what? It commands us to be holy because He is holy. So the way we live our life as Christian is basically hinged in the doctrines found in the scripture. Okay, some of the, I'd rather say, erroneous explanations or erroneous thoughts that we have concerning doctrines are this one. For example, first is, sometimes we think it doesn't matter what you believe, it only matters who you believe. Now, what's wrong with the statement? It sounds okay, but guess what? Do you folks realize that a Muslim or a Hindu person can come up to you and tell you, hey, the God that you worship is the same as the God that we worship, so we're basically all brothers and sisters. It sounds nice, but it isn't true. I want us to understand that Jesus and His teachings, Jesus and His doctrines are intertwined to each other. Okay? Because the danger of this statement is we might come into a conclusion that we embrace Jesus, but we reject His teachings. The problem here is that we want Jesus as a passport to heaven, but we don't want Him to be our Lord. That is why doctrines are very, very important. Another thing is this one. Sometimes we say you can be wrong in your doctrine and right in your spirit, and this is totally acceptable to God. What we're basically saying is, at the end of the day, it's just my motive. Now, this is partly true, but it's also partly erroneous or partly false for that matter. You cannot have the other and reject the other one. At the end of the day, essential doctrines are very important. For every single believer, if you're here and you consider yourself a Christian, if you consider yourself a Christian, this is important for us. We have to understand who we believe. Who do we believe? Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, okay, who made atonement for our sins. Who we believe, not just that, we also have to understand what you believe. It's something like this. You come here every single Sunday. You lift your hands. We sing our own song, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. We thank God for that. We lift our hands before Him. But if I ask you, what is that for? Yes, you're lifting your hands towards Jesus Christ, but what are the things that you believe that has brought you into a position where you worship Him? So those things are very, very important. Otherwise, if you don't understand why you're worshiping God, then it's just basically a religion. This is not a relationship. Are folks catching this? We have to understand who we believe, what we believe, and why we believe it. Why we believe it. If your parents or your kids, your cousins will ask you, what are the things that you embrace as a Christian? We have to be able to say it concretely. Meaning to say, we have to understand the things that make us Christians. Not just saying that, ako taga-victory ako. So, as a person who attends victory, what are you doing as a Christian? What are the things that you believe in? Titus chapter 2, verse 1, it says here, as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Now, look at this one. If you look at this verse right here, it says, doctrines ought to be taught. Okay? Whose responsibility is that? It's everyone's responsibility. But as a pastor, I understand my responsibility. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12 mentions the fivefold offices. Office of the apostle, prophet, pastor, the evangelist, okay? Our job as teachers and preachers is to equip you to do the works of the ministry. Our job is to teach doctrines to you. Your job is to do the work of the ministry, which is also to teach doctrines. Okay? Now, how would you know, based on this text right here, if a doctrine is actually okay? It says here, doctrine should be sound. Can everybody say sound?
Sound.
Doctrine has to be sound. Why is it important? This church is a transient church. We've embraced that calling for this church for the longest time. Meaning to say, we know that some of you here will leave Dumaguete. Okay, you'll be promoted somewhere or you're going back to your own hometowns. Okay? Meaning to say, people come here, people go. People come here, people go. My prayer is that when God launches you somewhere, you will be able to stand your ground and determine which is sound and that which is not sound. How would you know if doctrine is sound? Doctrine is sound if it is scriptural. Doctrine is sound if it is scriptural. Why do you think a lot of people are worshiping pastors? Listen, look at this one. I'll give you the permission. If one of these days, Tom comes up here and starts preaching to all of us, he starts telling us, I am the Son of God. I am the second coming of Christ. Guess what? I'm giving you the permission to stone him to death. That sounds funny, but guess what? Somewhere in the Philippines, people worship pastors for doing that. Why? It only gives us a picture that they do not know the scripture. If someone comes up to you and tells you that I'm the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? If you know your Bible, you know how Jesus Christ is going to come back. Right? Everyone, look up here. Look, just because a name of a church has the name of Jesus on it doesn't make it a Christian. One of the nations in the world that has a lot of Christian cults is the Philippines. For some reason, it's easy to deceive Filipinos when it comes to doctrines. And if you ask me, that is actually sad. Just because there's good worship here, just because there's good music, if you are not careful with the people that you're listening to on podcasts, on YouTube, on social media, it might cause you to fall into error. We always look at these things in the boundaries of God's Word. When I was in college, you know, a good book came out. You know, I got birthed again. I became a Christian when I was 19, right? I was already third year in college that time. Now, when that happened, there was a good book that came out. The book is called The Shack. Not sure if you know that book, but the book is called The Shack. So my wife and I, that time, hindi pa kami kasala. She has her own copy. I have my own copy. We started looking at the book. Kami sa campus ministry. There's just a few of us. We started reading it. Guess what? I'll be honest with you. When we started reading the book, I tell you what, it's one of the most prolific books out there. When we started reading, it's like the creative writing prowess of the author is just notches higher. It's written so well that it really touches your emotion, it really touches your soul. Right? So it's a good book, it's a good Christian book. It's a good book that talks about God. In fact, right now, they're coming up with a movie about it. Now, that was many years ago. As I keep growing in my faith in Christ and I started studying doctrines, I realized that much of the stuff that I've read from that book is actually going against Scripture. Meaning to say, it is not in line with the Scripture. Imagine if I didn't know that, then I live my life with a perspective written on that book instead of the Bible. When the Da Vinci Code book came out with Dan Brown being the author, after reading that book, people will say, oh, if that's the case, now I think Mary Magdalene is the wife of Jesus Christ. People started embracing that. Christians started embracing that. Why? Because they don't know the scripture. Listen, before you get into books like that, you need to come to a point where you've already read the Bible from cover to cover. Why? Because if you've read the Bible from cover to cover, you would know that the Bible itself prophesies that these kinds of things will come out in the last days. Not all good thing out there that touches your emotion is good for you. It's not going to be beneficial for you. Truth of the matter is, whatever you read influences you. If you read the Bible, it influences you. It changes your perspective. If you read the Bible, it gives you a biblical perspective. If you keep reading Harry Potter, you know what's going to influence your thinking? Sorcery. Witchcraft. It's sorcery and witchcraft package in a beautiful thing. And of course, they will not package witch that looks like a witch. I mean, gone are the days that it was packaged that way. It's packaged into something that will appeal to our senses. I'm not saying you throw all of these books, but if you're my child, I'll ask you to throw those books, okay? Because it influences your mindset, it influences your worldview. At the end of the day, how would you know if a doctrine is sound? Very simple. Scripture interprets Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. Meaning to say, you hear something out there, you've read something out there, you verify that, if that is sound, if you base it on God's Word. If it is extra-biblical, then it's going to be heresy. It's not going to be good for you. Scripture interprets Scripture. There's a lot of essential doctrines out there, but because of the time that we have, I'm going to talk about just one, which is the doctrine of the Scriptures. The doctrine of the Scripture. Here's my question for everyone. What makes the Bible unique? What makes the Bible unique is the fact that it is the only authoritative written revelation of God. It uses the same words as Philippine Daily Inquirer. Sometimes the call of the Philippine Daily Inquirer are more interesting than some parts of the Bible. It's just that this book right here is the only authoritative written word of God. When you say Bible, it comes from the Greek word biblios. The word Bible is not in the Bible. Do you know that? Okay, that's why it's called a Bible. It's a collection of books, okay? It's a Greek word biblios, which means book. Now, let me just try to talk about the Bible for a while. Who among you have your own personal Bible? Can I see your hand for a while? You have your own personal Bible. Okay, so if you don't have one, guess what? It's downloadable. Okay, you can get one for free. Okay, if you don't know how to download, you don't have money to buy a physical Bible, look, approach me right after the service. I'm going to give you a brand new Bible. At the end of the day, wala po tayong excuse na hindi tayo magkaroon ng Bible. Okay? Pag wala kayong Bible, lumapit kayo kay Eva. Okay? Bibigyan niya kayo ng pera pambili ng thin line na Bible. Joke lang yan. Bibigyan namin kayo ng Bible, parang ganito. Okay? Ganitong Bible. Honor God, make disciples. Okay? Napansin niyo sa atin, pagka meron tayong gustong-gusto sa Lazada, kaya natin bilhin. Pero pagka Bible, anything that's spiritual, parang wala tayong pera. Mulay, kwarta ba? Hindi ita kakuyog, ana. You know, your Bible is divided into two parts, right? It's called the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, don't be afraid of the Bible. Yes, it's called Holy Scriptures. But guess what? Bible is meant for us to read, okay? We need to read the Bible. That's why it was designed that way, okay? The Bible is not just placed on the altar, lagyan mo ng kandila for it to gather dust, okay? When you say Testament, the word Testament simply means covenant. Okay, meaning to say, the Bible is divided into two sections, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant contains the laws of Moses. The New Covenant is where Jesus basically comes in. Okay, it's actually interesting. You know what's interesting with the Bible? Look at this one. The Bible is very interesting. Why? Because the entire Bible, it contains different books. The writing of the Bible spent 1,600 years for it to be completed. Different books, different collection of books. Now look at this one. Let me just try to explain that. How many years has it been since Jose Rizal? Jose Rizal died on December 31, 30 nga, sabi ko. December 30, 1898. Right? Sino yung sumagot? Ika yung sumagot, di ba? Haya? Parang magaling ka. Si Apolinario Mabini. December 30, 1898. I mean, how long has it been? Today's April 30, 2017. How many years is that, EJ? How many years, EJ?
A lot.
A lot. You're so good. Go look for frogs, okay? It's been what? 119 years, right? It's been 119 years, and yet we don't know anything about their time. I mean, it's been 119 years. All we know are the things written about Jose Rizal. Now look at this one. Scripture spans 1,600 years. Written by 40 different authors in three languages. Yet, can everybody say yet?
Yet?
Yet, if you read the book of Genesis down to the book of Revelation, it's basically one unified story. Now tell me if there's no inspiration to that. At the end of the day, human authors may have written it, but we know that the hand of God was always there. Divided into the Old Testament and the New Covenant. How many books are there in the Old Testament? Okay? How would you know that? Okay, I'll give you a clue. It's very simple. When you say Old Testament, old is how many letter? Three. Testament is how many letter? 9. So just like 3 and 9, that's 39 books in the Old Testament. All right? So just keep that in mind so that you're better than your classmates or your friends. I-test nyo lang sila. How many books are there in the New Testament? Just add. How many letters in the word new? 3. How many letters in the word Testament? Okay, it's 27 books. Okay, there's 27, so a total of 66 books. Like, it's basically one unified story. You know, the Bible is an amazing book. I don't know with you. When I became a Christian, I started reading the Bible, starting with the book of John. I started with the book of John and started reading it. I find it interesting. But I tell you what, the more it got interesting when I started reading the Old Testament, I want us to understand this. The new is in the old contained. The old is in the new explained. The new is the old enfolded. The old is in the new unfolded. The new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed. It's actually fascinating because if you read the Old Testament, you would come to understand. If you've already read the Old Testament, then you read the New Covenant, the New Testament, you're going to end up like this. You're going to end up saying like, wow, that's why it was written there. That's what it means in the Old Testament. Meaning to say, the New Testament basically contains the Old Testament, and the Old Testament basically contains the New Testament. That's why the Old Covenant says that all of these things that has been happening are just shadows of the things that are to come, which finds fulfillment in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is interesting because the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's actually 6,600 cross-references to both of them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says here, all scripture, when you say all scripture, what does it include? Everything in the Bible. Like it says here, all scripture, everything in the Bible, pati mga woe is you, it's part of the all scripture. It says here, all scripture is given by inspiration. Can everybody say inspiration? Now, let me just end this by talking about these three things. Inspiration, revelation, and illumination. Then we're going to end this with a prayer. First things first, inspiration. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says here, everything that you find in the Bible, it says here, is given by inspiration of God. What does it mean? You know, inspiration here, it's not the kind of inspiration that we have in mind. It's not like chicken soup for the soul. It's way more than that. Meaning to say, inspiration there gives us a picture that God has a big influence in that writing. Okay, now look at this one. The word inspiration is coming from the Greek word theopoustos, which means God breathed. Okay, God breathed. Can you start breathing on your seatmate for a while? No, wag, wag. No, please don't do that. Mahirap na, mahirap na. It says here, God breathed. Now, for us to understand this, let's try to revisit some text in the Bible that talks about God breathing. Look at this one. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says here, the Lord God formed a man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And a man became a living creature. So it was like God was creating Adam and then they started breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. In Ezekiel chapter 37 verses 8 to 9, and I look and behold, there were sinews on them and flesh had come upon them and a skin had covered them. Meaning say they have flesh, but guess what? There was no breath in them. That's why he was ordered to prophesy over them. So mean to say, on the instances in the Bible that talks about something that doesn't have the breath of life, it gives us a picture that those things are lifeless. The Bible teaches us that the words here has been what? God breathed, has been inspired by God. So meaning to say, this is far different from your textbooks in college. It may have the same letters, may have the same alphabet used here, but at the end of the day, there's something in here that if you read it, something happens in you. Let me just try to explain it for a while. Before I became a Christian, you know, I grew up in a home wherein there's no hint of any spirituality. As a family, we don't go to church. On Sunday, we all read the newspaper with my father. That's just the kind of family that I grew up in. You know, we're not interested with any religion or any Christianity for that matter. So I grew up in a non-spiritual home. There's no spirituality in us. Now, when I was in college, I was given a book. I was handed an illustrated Bible, my very first Bible. It was an illustrated Bible. Started reading. I kid you not. The first few times that I started reading the Bible, I find it funny, not to mention ridiculous. Because I feel like, man, this is so impossible. Okay? For Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead. I mean, who would ever do that? So I find it so ridiculous. Now, finally, there's something that happened in me when I was in college. There's this campus missionary from Victory Dumaguete. Before Every Nation Campus, our campus arm right now is called Every Nation Campus. Before that, we used to call ourselves Youth on Fire. All right? We set students on fire. We used to call ourselves Youth on Fire, and there's this campus missionary. He's from Manila. He visited us here. So Every single day, he was in the campus. He was in the campus. I would go to this place right here, would go to the canteen, he's there, would go to the library, he's always there. So finally, I told him, you know, nakakatakot ka, mag-one-to-one na tayo, payag na ako. So nag-one-to-one kami, finally I got birthed again in the spirit, I became a Christian, guess what? The next time I started reading the Bible, it's different now. I don't find it funny, but for some reason, it ministers to my soul. You know why? Because my spirit now starts communing with the Spirit of God. That's what it means that the Scripture is God-breathed. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One of the first few verses that really confused me. I was like thinking, how in the world is this possible? If you read this text right here, the word here is basically the word logos. It gives us a picture that there is a written word, which is the Bible, and then it says here, the Word was God. It also tells us or teaches us that Jesus is the living Word. So there's a written word and the living word. So what is the purpose of the written word? The goal of the written word is to point us to the living word. If you're here this afternoon and you've been a Christian for how many years now? If you're here and you're desiring, gusto mong mahalin si Lord. Okay, you want to love Jesus. You want to stay away from sin. You want to grow in your relationship with God. Folks, listen. All you have to do is read God's word. I hope and pray that we will be a people who will always prioritize our Bible reading. No matter how busy you are. You know what? I don't know with you, but if you ask me, I believe busyness is a myth. My brother, when we were in high school, he's just so lazy to get up from bed. He's just so lazy because he doesn't want to go to school. To the point that my dad would sometimes threat him that he's going to drag him to the shower if he's not going to get up from the bed. But look at this one. Sometimes we're lazy to wake up in the morning, but I realized for my brother, during that time, pag merong FIFA World Cup, kahit 3:30 a.m., gising na gising. So at the end of the day, it's just a matter of what delights you. It's just a matter of what interests you. If you're here this afternoon, and you're not reading the Bible, it only means to say that you don't have any desire for God's Word. Then you cannot desire for growth if you don't desire God's Word. Because you need the meat of God's word for you to grow. So my challenge for us is this one. I hope and pray that as Victory Dumaguete, we will be a church who will be Bible readers. That we will read the Bible. That we will not be satisfied with the preaching of the pastor. We will not be satisfied with what is being taught here. But we ourselves, we want to know more about Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have a relationship with Him. The goal of the written word is to point us to the living word. That's inspiration. Revelation is the communication of truth which could not be discovered by natural reason. Illumination, on the other hand, illumination is the supernatural opening of our understanding to receive what that which is revealed in God's Word. It's very simple. Allow me to try to explain this. Listen, folks, I want you to understand this. There will be no more new revelation. Wala na po. Okay? The reason why there's a lot of cults out there. When I say cult, in Philippine setting kasi, when we hear cult, we think about people eating flesh. It's a different kind of cult. I'm talking about Christian cults. A Christian church will become a Christian cult when there's an extra biblical teaching that's being taught in the church. Very simple, right? Now, the reason why there's a lot of cults out there is because we add to the revelation. It's something like this. You have here the book of Genesis down to the book of Revelation. If I tell you things that are not found in the Bible, and I tell you it's a new revelation from God, that's actually false. And by God's grace, that will not happen. The reason why a lot of people are deceived is because a highly esteemed preacher or man of God would come to them and tell them, hey, this is what God revealed to me. You have to give me your car. You have to give me this. And there's going to be gold flowing down from heaven. And people start embracing that. Guess what, friends? I want you to understand. There will be no more new revelation. No more new revelation. In fact, even your dreams, you dream about these things and you feel like, is this dream from God? It's very simple. You would know if that dream is from God if it's aligned with God's Word. Nung bago akong Kristiyano, sobrang proud ako. Sabi ko sa mga friends ko, grabe, napanaginipan ko si God kagabi. Sabi nila sa akin, ano nakita mo? Nakita ko yung unicorn. Wala na, pinagtawanan na ako. Listen, everything can basically be investigated through God's Word. What is God's revelation then? This is God's revelation. From cover to cover, this is all that you need. Allow me to try to explain something for a while. So where does illumination come in? Let me just try to explain this for a while. Can I just ask the tech to turn off the light for a while? Just turn off the light. Ooh. Just kidding. Let me just try to explain it this way. Let's say I was never in Spanish heritage. This is my first time in Dumaguete. Let's say I grew up in the States. I'm from New York, from the Bronx. I'm a multimillionaire, own businesses, richer than Trump. And I just decided one day, hey, there's this place in the Philippines called Dumaguete. So I went there, I was walking along the boulevard, and I see a building, an old building from the boulevard, and its name's the Spanish Heritage. So let's say I'm from the outside, I was never here. So this is my first time to come in this place. So I got in here, and guess what? I realized, wow, there's a nice place here with nice people. There's a nice place. Wow, this is a nice place. It's all wooden. It has good curtains, thick curtains, nice chandeliers. Floor is good. We don't have this in New York. I mean, it fascinates me to see that there's this place right here. 5 seconds ago or 5 minutes ago, I don't know about this place. But now I come in here and I realize there's so much stuff here that's very interesting. Folks, guess what? This is revelation. You get into a relationship with God. You get into God's Word. And you realize, man, there's so many things that I need to understand here. Now, folks, this is illumination. Illumination is like this. This is illumination. Illumination is, in the process of having the entire thing as a revelation, illumination is there are certain parts that's being what? That's being made what? Made that the Holy Spirit is making you understand. Because there's light here that's illuminating this place. Now I realize, oh, this guitar right here has 6 strings. Oh, this guitar is called Araya Pro Magna Series. Oh, there's this synthetic tarpaulin right here. There's this good-looking guy right here. This area right here, I all the more understood this area. I got to read all of these things. I saw this guy. Why? Because this place was illuminated. You have the entire place as a revelation, and it's already here. It has already been revealed. Just that there are certain aspects in our lives or in the scripture that we are yet to understand. Folks, listen, I hope and pray that we will not be a people who are satisfied by saying, I know that God loves me. I know that God is love. But guess what? It's not just love. He's also your Father. Not just that. If you keep discovering the truth in God's Word, the Holy Spirit will make you see all of His supernatural truth. You would come to understand, He's not just my Father. I also understand that He's a good Father. I also understand that because I am His child, the Bible says every spiritual blessing under heaven belongs to me. I hope and pray that we will be people who will have this discipline to get into God's Word. Wala na pong bagong revelation. Ang kailangan po natin, illumination. That the truth, the doctrines in the Bible will minister to us. That we will all the more understand this. Folks, listen. Your growth is your responsibility. I want to end this by making an appeal to everyone. I appeal to you. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. That's basically what we want you to do.